This morning we have a special treat to have Pastor Mike Asher, chaplain and pastor, to address us. We were delighted he was able to come. He spent his first few years of ministry in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, and as an assistant here, and we certainly enjoyed that, and I have just been thrilled to see what God has done in his life, and I began to note his burden for the supporting of our first responders. He became a police chaplain 20 years ago with the Whitewater Police Department, Whitewater, Wisconsin. He served on the Walworth County Critical Incident Stress Management Team. He also was able to serve with the Fraternal Order of Police in Chester County, Pennsylvania, where he was on call with local departments. He currently serves as a sworn member of the Chesapeake Police Department in Chesapeake, Virginia, a position he has held since 2013. He holds credentials with the International Conference of Police Chaplains and is an instructor on marriage and family in the Chesapeake Police Academy. Chaplain Asher also has served as the chairman of the chaplain committee with the commission with the Foundations Baptist Fellowship International. This endorsing agency provides oversight to 70 military and community chaplains serving at home and abroad. And on the side, he is senior pastor of Good News Baptist Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, and president of Armed Forces Baptist Missions. And he has been married for 31 years, has 11 children, and just 3 grandchildren so far, but that number will quickly rise in the future. Pastor Asher, come. Great to have you here with us.
Thank you. Good morning, Falls Baptist Church, and honored guests. It is indeed a privilege to be here today. It always feels like coming home. Let me begin this morning by thanking this church for this event, recognizing these hometown heroes here in Menominee Falls, the surrounding communities. You've already been reminded that these first responders maintain a high level of training and readiness to respond to an endless variety of situations. What they see on a daily basis will be forever etched in their memories and will likely impact their health and change their lives. As respect for authority continues to erode in our society, so does the respect that they deserve. And I can guarantee you, none of them are getting paid what they're worth. This is why today's event is so important. And so again, Dr. Van Gelderen, church family, I commend you for letting these local heroes know that they are appreciated. Some of you know this, perhaps others don't, but Pastor's own father-in-law was a firefighter. And so I know that this is very personal for he and his family. And to my brothers in blue, to those who work our dispatch centers, sometimes those are, in fact, the first responders with what they have to take over the phone. To you firefighters, paramedics, and EMTs, I am aware that the term hero may make you uncomfortable. After all, you just do your job. You fulfill your calling. And yet the Bible reminds us in Romans 13 that you are God's ministers for good with authority ordained by Him. Therefore, respect by the community is required, and you've earned it. And so again, thank you. Not only have I been privileged to work with first responders, I have a son who's a police officer just south of Philly, kind of the Wild West down there. I have a daughter who's a firefighter, married a firefighter, and then my youngest daughter just graduated from EMT school. So again, this hits very close to home. And so first responders, let me speak to you for a moment. Thank you for doing work that can be mundane one minute, and if we're honest, terrifying the next. Last Monday morning on patrol, my partner and I went from directing traffic at a school crossing where the crossing guard called in sick to a house fire in which three family pets perished, all dogs. I consoled a 19-year-old woman who had melted debris in her hair and on her clothing that had dripped on her as she climbed out of her bedroom window to escape the fire. I watched exhausted firefighters leave the dwelling, blackened by smoke and with debris from the ceiling all over their equipment and themselves, because the fire had started in the bathroom, got into the attic, and that's where the primary problem was. All that happened, and it was only mid-morning. First responders, thank you for doing work that can have you laughing one minute and wanting to cry the next. By the way, they have their own unique humor. In fact, you have to learn to laugh just sometimes to survive. But our son, Chris, again, a police officer south of Philly, a year ago left roll call, and I'm sure that they laughed with each other. That partnership is very real. A few hours later, he was confronted by a male subject whose mind was blitzed on PCP. When the man charged my son, an officer from a neighboring department pulled his taser so that he could shoot past my son and hit the guy coming at my son. And I already see Chief shaking her head. Bad idea. It was a bad idea. One probe did make it past my son, but the other probe caught him in the arm, and for the next 5 seconds, he wanted to cry. It was all that energy coursed through his system. So of all people, you emergency responders understand deeply the words of Proverbs 27:1, that no man knows what a day will bring forth. We just don't. And so I join this church in expressing my grateful appreciation for the sacrifices that you and your families make. So as a police chaplain, I want to offer encouragement and help to all of us as we work to fulfill our calling in this broken world. If you have your Bible this morning, would you take it? Let's turn together to Ephesians 6. Emergency responders understand the importance of protective gear. And this passage lists the protective gear. We call it the armor that God has given his soldiers to defend themselves as they protect, serve the Lord, and serve others. We're only going to focus on one piece of the armor found in verse 14. If you'll look at it, you'll see listed there the breastplate of righteousness. Roman soldiers called this the thorax. It was a piece of sleeveless armor, often made of metal, that covered the torso and the vital organs. The modern equivalent would be what those in law enforcement refer to as a bulletproof vest, or we simply call it the vest. This piece of body armor did not come as standard issue until around 1975 with the development of a material called Kevlar. And so this morning, I brought my vest. It's right here. I hope that you can see it. I apologize to those who are over here. When the officers stood up there, they were wearing their vests, only they're underneath the uniform where most often you can't see that. Now, how does Kevlar work? And I love the way that a bulletproof vest and the truth of Scripture, especially related to the breastplate of righteousness, how these fit together. Kevlar is made up of a web of strong fibers that absorb and disperse the impact energy transmitted by a bullet. In fact, what it does is as that bullet enters the vest and it's turning, it rotates, the fibers of those various layers actually catch the bullet. Now, more important than the Kevlar vest, which can help us in this life, but really doesn't prepare us for the next. More important than the Kevlar vest is the breastplate, the spiritual breastplate consisting of righteousness. Now, what does righteousness mean? Let me give a simple definition. Righteousness is fulfilling one's moral obligations to another. Five times in the Bible, Scripture makes this statement, the Lord is righteous. One example, Psalm 145, verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. So not only is he sinless, but part of that sinlessness is that he keeps his word in every way that he has obligated himself to man. Question, does man keep his obligations to God as God defines those obligations in his word? Well, the answer is no, which is why we need law enforcement, right? No. And so let's begin with the Ten Commandments to prove the point. Do we meet our obligations to God? Well, what about the matter of worshiping other gods or things over God? It's a problem. What about bearing false witness, telling lies about a circumstance, about someone else? Ever done that? What about coveting what belongs to your neighbor? What about committing adultery, perhaps lusting after your neighbor's wife, his daughter? What about obeying parents? It's all in the Word of God. And so even we can't get past the Ten Commandments without realizing we've got a righteousness problem. No wonder Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none, what's the next word? None righteous. No, not even one. So when it comes to keeping our obligations to God, all of us have failed in varying degrees. Therefore, we have to conclude as we study this breastplate of righteousness, first of all this morning, this is not talking about self-righteousness. Each of us committed sin before we even knew what sin was, and then when we learned what it was, we kept doing it. Some people hope that if they start keeping some of God's laws, kind deeds, religious work, the righteous judge in heaven will overlook the laws that they've already broken, which, by the way, would make him an unrighteous judge, right? And he is the righteous judge of all the earth who will do right. He would not do anything else. And so, someone who says, well, my good works will outweigh my bad works is like the hit and run driver that told the judge the charges against him should be dropped because he did pull over when the police finally caught up with him. Okay. So how does God view our attempts at righteousness when we are already guilty? Here's what Isaiah 64:6 says. But we all are as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. See, we may look good in the eyes of our neighbors, our boss, and so on, but in the eyes of God, who is absolutely holy and righteous, we don't measure up. In fact, Scripture tells us we've all fallen short of the glory of God. So, filthy rags. I'd like to illustrate this morning. And I've had my eyes on this young man right over here in the second row in. Okay, would you come up here? I'm about to change your life. No, I'm not really. Would you stand right here? We'll stand back so everybody can see you. Okay. And would you hold up this t-shirt? This is a filthy rag. Now, let me tell you, this is a special t-shirt. Okay. I use this to polish my police boots. Are you holding it good and tight? And in a pinch, I blow my nose on it. But anyway, just hang on to it. Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. Okay. This is a ballistics question. Do you believe that this t-shirt could stop a bullet that was fired at it?
No.
No. Okay. Did everybody hear that? No. Now, we're going to test his opinion on that, okay? I think it's awesome when you have an officer named Tank. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than, I've talked to Officer Tank, and he's going to help me with this, okay? In a moment, I'm going to have him come up. He's going to take his service weapon, okay? And he's going to see if this T-shirt will stop a bullet. Now, one of the reasons that I picked you is if you turn sideways, he probably won't be able to hit you, okay? Buddy, I wish I had your problem. All right. Now, I just made all that up. He's not coming up here. We didn't even talk. In fact, right now, he probably wants to shoot me. But anyway, okay, hold this, okay? Now, in God's eyes, our righteousness, are you impressed? God's not impressed, okay? In fact, he said that our righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the religious leaders of his day, and they made up rules to keep, to try to be righteous. What's your name?
Daniel.
Daniel, thank you, sir. You can be seated. Did a great job today. All right. Filthy rags. Now, many religions teach that their followers can earn their way to heaven. Romans 10 verse 3 tells us why they think this way. Here's what it says: for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So this brings us to the second truth about the breastplate of righteousness. Since this isn't talking about self-righteousness, this righteousness must be something that's given. All right, something that we acquire. And again, in our departments, we're given this. We receive this as a vital part of our protection. So this breastplate of righteousness must be acquired. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, listen carefully, not of works, lest any man should boast. No man can stop a bullet in his own strength. And no individual gets to heaven by his own works. Jesus Christ alone lived a sinless life, so he wasn't under the condemnation of sin like we are. He's never been guilty of anything. Yet he took the penalty for our sin on himself so that we can have his righteousness if we will receive him by faith. Listen to the words of Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or that Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now listen carefully. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. He's made righteous. And with the tongue confession is made unto salvation. So friend, Jesus is ready to grant you his righteousness if you'll admit to him that you don't have any of your own and ask him to save you. Now what does it take to get help from a first responder? All you've got to do is pick up the phone, call 911. Or just wave them down and say, help. It's free, it's on the way, and that's the way it is with receiving the Lord's righteousness. But you have to admit you need help. You have to admit you're a sinner and then receive Jesus Christ. So we've established that the breastplate of righteousness isn't self-righteousness. In fact, it is the gift of Christ's righteousness that we acquire by faith. And then finally this morning, this breastplate of righteousness must be worn. You've got to put it on. Now, admittedly, a bulletproof vest is cumbersome, it's inconvenient, and in Virginia summers, it's really hot. A bulletproof vest can't stop you from being bruised. And that's why, by the way, it's a good example about righteousness. When you take, and I've not had this happen, but I've talked to officers that have, when you get hit in your vest with a bullet, it catches the bullet, but it feels like somebody's hit you with a baseball bat. What I have seen is the bruises that come after that bullet's been stopped. The point is, an officer never knows when he'll need his vest to stop an attack by an assailant. In fact, when I was still in Whitewater, we honored a police officer who actually was running towards a crime, did not know the bad guy was behind him. He was running downhill, the bad guy was up on top, shot down through, it came through the back, missed his vest, missed everything on the bullet's way through the body, and his vest caught it on the way out. You just don't know when that vest is going to be needed. Ephesians 6:13 tells us to take unto ourselves the whole armor of God, including this breastplate. This is an active command that tells us to put on this piece of the armor, listen, all the time. So, Christian, obeying the Lord isn't always easy. It's not going to feel convenient. And by the way, you may get bruised as you try to live for Him, but you can't afford for a moment to ignore your obligations to the Lord and set aside the breastplate of righteousness. On December 8th, 2003, Officer Glenn Gasper of the Honolulu Police Department made the ultimate sacrifice while trying to arrest a murder suspect. What I'm about to share is not meant to minimize his great sacrifice as one of our fallen heroes, but it helps to illustrate what we've been talking about. Department policy, Honolulu Police Department, clearly stated, quote, that officers assigned to enforcement or field patrol duties shall wear body armor while engaged in those duties, end quote. When Officer Gasper was killed, the investigation revealed he wasn't wearing his vest. I have been with patrol officers in Virginia who get hot, stop, and take off their vest. And so, Chief, I would be on the same page as you and would admonish these officers, turn the AC up, do some, but leave the vest on. So putting on the breastplate of righteousness isn't easy, but it will save your life so that you can keep on serving, and it will protect others around you as well. When an officer can't perform his duties because he's been injured, it affects others. 2 years ago, I made a death notification with a 28-year-old officer in the early mornings or early hours of the morning. We were working with Interpol out of Canada. A young man up there had taken his own life. And so they called our department. I was called out, and we visited some elderly parents in the middle of the night, woke them up, and had to give them probably the hardest news they've ever heard. After the notification, God prompted me to ride the rest of the shift. And so around 3 a.m., we're sitting in the empty parking lot of one of the businesses over in that part of our city, and the conversation turned to spiritual matters. This officer opened up to me about his relationship with Jesus Christ and the fact that he had placed his faith in the Lord for salvation. He had the righteousness of Christ. Just weeks later, 28 years old, he had a massive heart attack and was with the Lord. I remember attending his funeral. And as I sat over here with the chaplains, his widow sat here, a brand new baby and a 3-year-old daughter. I'm so thankful that he wasn't depending on his own righteousness. So let me ask those of you that are visiting church family, let's bow our heads together. Would you close your eyes for just a few moments? Would you consider the situation in your own heart? Do you have the righteousness of Christ, or through the years have you been depending on your own righteousness? your religiosity, good things that you're doing, perhaps even service to a community. But do you possess Christ's righteousness? The first steps to having his righteousness is, again, admitting you don't have any of your own. And so perhaps this morning, as God's word has been presented, as we've honored, and rightfully so, these first responders, the reality of eternity has come to your heart, your mind. And as you've thought about your standing before the Lord, is it righteous because you have Christ's righteousness, or are you hoping yours will somehow get you by? And if God has been speaking to hearts this morning, I want to address those who don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. There's never been a time when you admitted to the Lord you have no righteousness of your own, and humbly you believed on Jesus Christ and invited him into your life to be your Savior. Friend, in just a moment, I want to pray for you. This is so important. And if you're here and you can't say with 100% assurance that you're on your way to heaven, would you just lift your hand and I'll pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. You put it up, I'll see it, you'll put it right back down. But I'm not sure I'm saved. Chaplain Asher, here's my hand. I see that hand in the back. God bless you. Anyone else? The first step is admitting you need help so you can get help. Anyone else? God has spoken to my heart this morning. I need to be saved. All right, I see a second hand. Anyone else while we wait? Anyone else? The child of God, you are being protected because you already have the righteousness of Christ. But the question this morning is, are you wearing the breastplate? Are you wearing that? Are you obeying the Holy Spirit? Are you fulfilling your obligations to God through his power? Or are you vulnerable because of unrighteousness that you've dismissed? It's just not that serious. Like not wearing the vest. I'm managing this. No, you don't manage sin. Which one is it, Christian friend? Is that breastplate, are you wearing that now? Are you protected? I wonder how many Christians this morning, God's children, would say, God has spoken to my heart because I haven't even thought about that breastplate. I'm letting things go in my life, and God has reminded me this morning just how vulnerable sin makes me. Pastor, would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up, and I'll pray for you in a moment. God bless you. All right, I see hands this morning, many hands. God bless you. Any others that would join these? Would you be honest? For your safety, would you be honest? Now, Father, you have seen hearts. Thank you for your righteousness. Thank you that it's imparted to us because of the work of Christ on the cross. And that by simple faith, we can have a righteous standing before you. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, would you help them to set aside whatever would hold them back from coming to you. I love the word salvation. It means rescued. Rescue them today, Lord. And then for Christians who are trying to manage sin, being careless, going into the day, going into battle, but not being prepared, Lord, would you help them to agree with you about that particular area? And Lord, fulfill their obligations to you through your power. Lord, protect them. Help them to be right with you. We ask for you now to work in our hearts as the pastor comes and closes the service as he sees fit. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.